He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning, April the 6th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we're getting a little bit of lift under this market today here after a really big day yesterday. But I got to say, it was focused in a couple of areas. Yesterday it was all about big tech, semiconductors, and basic materials, copper, steel, aluminum, etc. Today we've got the NASDAQ following through just a little. It's up 20 points, 13,726. The momentum names, however, continue to look bad. You still got to watch your PEG ratios really closely in this market. S&P is up 6. That's a new high, 4,083. Forward PE on the S&P is 30. Last time it hit 30, we had a big sell-off in the market. And, of course, it hit 30 back in the year 2000. That's a lofty number. Mind your P's and Q's here. Dow down 29, 33,498. Russell 2000 up 3/10 of 1%. Crude oil's up $1.66. As OPEC opens the spigot just a little bit here. Gold is up $13.10 to $17.42. Silver's up 40 cents to $25.18. The 10-year, 1.68. Well, that's backing off from yesterday. That's down 5 basis points from where it was at one time yesterday. Meanwhile, Bitcoin's down $438 per coin. We're at 50, now you buy a Starbucks coffee with a Bitcoin. That's some expensive coffee, I suppose. 58,306. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, 24 years behind the microphone and managing money professionally for folks all across America. Well, we had new highs across the board. No, not in the NASDAQ. We had new highs yesterday in the S&P 500, which is now at 4,080. The big bright yellow flag there would be that the forward PE yesterday hit 30. It hasn't done that for several months. And the last time it did hit 30, we had a pretty stiff sell-off and correction in the market. So, look, I don't know if the average investor out there or the funds, the institutions are watching that forward P.E. ratio. I am. I mean, it's important to me. And at 30 times forward earnings when the long-term average has been closer to 16 to 18, that's got to be a little bit spooky here on that forward P.E. That's why I'm very reluctant to go back into any of those high forward PE momentum stocks. We also had a new high on the Dow yesterday. The Dow hitting 33,527. That's an all-time high. There is a little bit of a hang-up in the proposed tax increases. A couple of senators, Democratic senators, are coming forward saying, you know, this infrastructure, $2 trillion infrastructure bill, is not palatable to us with these steep tax increases accompanying it at this time in the economy. One is Joe Manchin. I'm not quite sure who the other one is. So at least, you know, that doesn't look like it's an automatic thing, the infrastructure bill along with those tax hikes across the board, the corporate tax hike, the individual tax hike, capital gains taxes, etc. The 10-year did go up to 1.73 at one time yesterday. Now it's back down to 1.68. Yesterday's move was also caused by the big jobs report. And then after that jobs report on Friday, yesterday we got, was it the ISM index? Yes, the ISM service index jumped to 63.7. Well, think about it. Okay, the service sector is starting to come back to life, right? After being just hammered with the COVID. So that March ISM service index at 63.7, that was way better than consensus. And from what I can understand, that's the highest number since the index began. That's the March ISM service index. Now, you would think that the interest rates would be jumping up a little bit after that. They did, I guess, yesterday, but then cooling off again here today. Overnight in the foreign markets, not much. Europe, London up 1.25%. I did notice, however, as I go through my daily trip through the market, I did notice that VGK, which is a European ETF, that's the proxy I use for the European stock market, that thing broke out yesterday. Very nice breakout on that European. Now, some they have quite a few semiconductor stocks in that index. We own a few of those semiconductor stocks overseas. And I got to believe that a lot of that move higher yesterday was helped along quite a bit by those chip stocks. The semiconductor stocks were on fire once again yesterday. Of course, there's a lot of ETFs that that are semiconductor centric, and we own several individual semiconductor companies. We're more interested right now in the equipment makers as opposed to the actual chip makers. It's really the equipment makers that are just on fire right now, and you know, a lot of them are still trading at very reasonable values. I've been saying for the last several weeks, you know, is there any value left in TAC? Well, you have to look for the individual stocks. I want PEG ratios very close to one right now. And there are stocks in various sectors out there that are trading at that level. The basic material stocks yesterday were on fire. Now, I don't think that that's so much in anticipation of the big infrastructure bill. I think that's more of an indication of coming inflation. I noticed today or yesterday, one of the big potash companies, you know, fertilizer is a big thing. This time of year, as I plant my garden, I like to give my tomatoes a little shot of phosphate down at the bottom of the hole that I'm planting them in. It gives the roots a lot of boost, you know, right out of the gate. But, you know, those bags of fertilizer, they're not cheap. Now imagine, you know, having big fields of farms and crops. They got to have those nutrients. And I noticed one of the big companies is raising their prices on fertilizer by 13%. So that means that supplies are tight and prices are going up. Last year it was flying taxi stocks. This year it's fertilizer stocks. While the taxi stocks have turned to fertilizer, the fertilizer stocks are blossoming. How about that? Ah, that's clever, wasn't it? Vail is one of the stocks. I featured that yesterday. Vail had a monster day yesterday. It was up 6.6%. The board approved a new buyback plan. And other material stocks, such as Freeport-McMoRan, the one out of Australia, which escapes my brain right now, think of it here in a minute, but there's several other, I mean, there's many, Southern Copper, SCCO, many other material stocks, the steel stocks. Look at the, you want to compare a couple of ETFs, compare the cloud ETF, which is sexy, you know, WCLD and all these artificial intelligence cloud stocks, and then look at the steel ETF, SLX. Well, SLX is sexy. Well, the cloud stocks are a little bit cloudy and gloomy out there right now. What a difference a year makes. Well, not even a year. I mean, these momentum stocks were flying high to late January, early February, and then it was just a very, very rapid turnover and rotation, vicious rotation that my app picked up, and I rotated with it, and I'm not seeing those momentum stocks with any life at all. And my fertilizer stocks are smelling great right now. We'll be right back. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the equivalent of Dr. Fauci in Europe, Marco Cavalleri, has said in an interview with Italy's Messaggero newspaper that there is a leak between the COVID-19 vaccine developed by AstraZeneca and cases of blood clots. That's scary. He says, in my opinion, we can say now it is clear that there is a link with the vaccine. Without elaborating on the cause of such a reaction, he has implied that the EMA would confirm the link in the coming hours. Meanwhile, citing the cases of rare blood clots, Britain's health regulators are assessing a proposal to restrict the use of the vaccine to those under the age of 30. So there's a little bit of a twist thrown into the whole vaccine. And there is a controversy about the vaccine passports. Dr. Fauci says the government won't mandate vaccine passports. But then he goes on to say anything is on the table. Anything is possible, of course, Dr. Fauci has said. In a Politico Dispatch podcast on Monday. He says that he doubts that the federal government will be the main mover of a vaccine passport. Instead, businesses, schools, hospitals could require vaccine documentation to enter the building. Or orders may be implemented on the state or local level. Well, you've got governors getting out in front of that. Yesterday, two governors, one Florida Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday issued an executive order on Friday prohibiting businesses from requiring customers to show proof they have received a coronavirus vaccine. And I believe Texas has also passed an emergency bill blocking businesses from saying, you can't come in and see Brady throw the ball here in Tampa Bay without proof of vaccine. Well, we'll see where this goes. In Israel, they have a green passport, which opens up a lot of things to them. And over in the EU, they have unveiled a proposal for vaccine passports in March would allow citizens to cross borders without quarantine requirements. So we'll see. I like to always examine the controversial issues, make people think a little bit. Which side of the fence are you on in that debate? Credit Suisse takes a $4.7 billion hit. Ouch! That's that Archegos disaster. Well, you know, there was talk of at least one bank taking a massive hit, while other banks like Goldman Sachs and a few others, Deutsche Bank, took a lot milder hits. It looks like Credit Suisse takes a $4.7 billion hit. Now, you know what? This flows on through to their shareholders. They cut their dividend because of this. And they let go one of the top guys there at Credit Suisse, $4.7 billion. Ouch. What a disaster there at Credit Suisse. That was the fallout from the Archegos. And there's still selling going on in those stocks. They're not completely out of those positions yet. Viacom was at the center of the whole debacle, which pretty much wiped out a big hedge fund that was somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 billion, something like that, in size, and not anymore. Global semiconductor sales up 14.7% year-over-year in February. Well, last February, a lot of the foundries were closed down and whatnot, but having said that, the chip making equipment stocks are on fire. We're talking Applied Materials. We're talking ASML. We're talking Lam Research. We're talking others in that industry that have just been, that was the leading sector once again in the market yesterday. And, you know, as I looked at that big move in the market, once again, I would say it's centered in a few areas. The chart of the day yesterday was Google. What a breakout in Google. Facebook broke out yesterday. Amazon had a monster day yesterday. It was just, you know, incredible. And it was pretty much centered. I mean, unless you own Netflix, had a decent day. Oh, Microsoft had a big day yesterday. NVIDIA, and unless you were in those stocks, you probably watched yesterday's big move from the sidelines. It was all about big tech, Amazon, Facebook, Google especially, and the semiconductor sector. And lastly, there were some big moves from Vail, and the uranium stocks. What is going on with uranium all of a sudden? UEC, those are two of them. And then there was some big moves in the basic material ETFs. My favorite symbol is Moo. Moo is all like fertilizer and agriculture and whatnot. You know, it did really well yesterday. And the steel, ETF, which I explained a little while ago, SLX also had a big day. And platinum, IMPUY, while gold and silver go nowhere. So, yeah, yesterday's move in the market was very interesting. It was very, very focused. All right, well, speculation continues. Here's what's going public today. I had a busy morning. Doggone it, when is this SPAC business going to slow down a little bit? Here's the latest. Here's a symbol for you, MUDS, M-U-D-S. That's a new SPAC, Mudrick Acquisition, jumps on a deal to take Topps Trading Cards public. Well, you know what? Topps has been public before, or one of those trading card companies. It was headquartered in San Diego. It still is in Carlsbad. And it wasn't a very good stock before. I think it went private. Now they're going to go public. So there's your baseball story of the day. I was a baseball card collector as a young lad. Then I went away to college, and I came home and looking through my room. I go, Mom, where's my baseball cards? What happened? I gave them away. We were taking up too much. They're probably worth $1 million today. That's my baseball card story. All right, this is Bill Gutterson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Dow up 6 after yesterday's big move. NASDAQ up 3 after yesterday's move. I thought we'd revisit some of these momentum names. You know, I look at them every single day. And there is just a flicker, a glimmer of light in some of those charts. But for the most part, let's just look at a few here, okay? There was not, was there a hotter sector late last year and early this year than the Chinese electric vehicle sector? Well, one of them's in the news today, NIU. They make electric scooters in China. NIU, I look at that chart. You know what? That's pretty blah. How about NIO, N-I-O, a stock that we sold? That thing looks real. I mean, it's going sideways. It's better than a downtrend. The downtrend finally ended, and it's starting to at least form a base. But I don't like to buy stocks that are forming a base. And you got to understand that these stocks are very, very, very expensive. Very few of them are profitable yet. And they're trading at extreme multiples. Let's look at Li Auto, L-I. Well, it's a sideways chart. Okay, so in my simple way of looking at stock charts, is I look at many, 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 many throughout the day. I see either a sideways chart, number one, an uptrend, number two, a topping out kind of trend, number three, or a downtrend, number four. And most of these momentum-type names were in horrible downtrends over the last 6 weeks or so. And at least they're starting to smooth out and bottom out and trend sideways. That's a number one sideways trend, which ain't too exciting, but it's better than a downtrend. That's all I can say. In other words, I'm not just itching to get back into these very high-priced stocks, especially with the forward P.E. of the S&P 500 at 30 right now. And if you listened to me earlier this year when I said it's time to flee, these high-priced stocks are starting to roll over. Hopefully I saved you a little bit of grief on the downside. You know, most people, most of the comments from non-clients and non-subscribers out there on Twitter and whatnot were not in agreement with me. I can tell you that. Neither were they in agreement with me a year ago, a little over a year ago, when I said it was time to go all in the market. And many people continue to argue that these stocks look really cheap at this level. How can you miss? Well, you know what? I would just say I would pay very close attention here to PEG ratios, PE, price to sales, this kind of thing, and be careful out there. These momentum names still do not look very good. Okay, here's another IPO today, Chinese low-cost mobile and accessories maker, Utime. Where can I get some of that? UTME has priced its initial public offering at $4 per share. There's another one I had to add to the app today. Here's another one, gaming and e-commerce focus. There's plenty of those out there. Everybody's getting in on the sports betting business. Ace Global Business Acquisition. We don't even know. They don't own anything yet. They're looking for something to buy. They want to combine and find a company operating in East or Southeast Asia in the gaming and e-commerce sectors. Well, good luck. Roblox. Now, this is one that's interesting. I talked about this one yesterday. RBLX is a streaming. This is the anti-GameStop company, right? They develop games, but it's a streaming service. It's not a bricks-and-mortar type of operation. Roblox is a major player that just went public. RBLX. I actually went into the app yesterday. There was not any kind of consensus, any kind of research out there. I did my own little work and came up with my own five-year target price on the stock. It's got a very high PEG ratio of 4.37, but this is a stock to keep your eye on, definitely. RBLX, which went public just about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Now, littered amongst all of these garbage stocks that have gone public this year, there are some good ones in there, too. I try to ferret those out. I put Roblox on my watch list. Uranium Energy, that was another one. Look at these three stocks from yesterday. UEC, which is engaged in the exploration and development of uranium, of course used in nuclear type of applications, good and bad. There was also UUU. Well, that's better than me. UUU, was that it? No, it's, there's four U's. Four U's, UUUUU. That one had a huge day yesterday. And the last uranium stock was UEC. Those are the two that had big days yesterday. Uranium. All right, let's see what else we got. Okay, so let's check in another momentum stock, just for fun. How are things at Peloton these days? Well, I'm sure the people on the bikes, it's still working. Nothing's changed, and they're joining their little things, their groups. This is an ultra-expensive stock. Let's check in on the PEG ratio right now on Peloton. I'm looking for something closer to 1. Ouch, 7.8. That's about as high as PEG ratios go. They're pegged at that level, you know, there's steam coming out. It's like, you know that sinking feeling when you look at your temperature gauge on your boat, your car, whatever, and it's pegged to the right, and your heart sinks. Well, I would just say that valuation on Peloton, if it's pegged to the right at $113 a share, what was it at $171 a share? It's down $60 a share from the high. That's a 35% drop. And it's still at a peg ratio for me. The chart is sideways. Okay, at least you can say that all these momentum names, former momentum names, have entered into a sideways trend. Here's another one to check in on, former high flyer Shopify. That thing got so expensive. Another one. It's in a sideways trend. Let's check in on the PEG ratio. You see, this is good exercise to check in on these PEGs. That one is at 7 times PEG ratio, 7 times. I like them closer to 1. So it's way off the charts for me. And here it is at 1,150. It was 1,500 just 6 weeks ago. That is why I got so animated about 6 weeks ago about the speculation and the speculation and the PEG ratios and the forward PE ratios and whatnot. They got way out of whack. And we've had somewhat of a correction so far, about a third. But these stocks, I just have to tell you, they are not cheap at this level. And the charts are sideways charts. Zillow. That was another hot one. How's Zillow doing these days? Sideways. How about Redfin? Redfin was doing very well. Sideways. Well, that's better than down. Okay, then here's the last one I wanted to look at because Kathy Wood is initiating a new position in a stock. This would be her featured stock of the day. Let's see if it fits up, if it matches up with my criteria. She likes Trimble Navigation. You know, Trimble's been around for a long time. I want to say I featured it, one of the featured stocks in my book in 2013. Here's my problem, Trimble. Trimble is expected to grow over the next 5 years by 10% per year. So I wouldn't want to pay much more than 10 to 12 times forward earnings for it. I see it's currently trading at 32 times forward earnings. It doesn't fit my valuation criteria at all. It does have a good chart. It's got some momentum behind it. To me, it lacks growth. It just is not one of those 25, 30% growers to fit into its current P.E. ratio of 38. Extremely high. I'm not with Kathy Wood on that one. She can have her Trimble. Okay, when we come back, don't tremble. We'll be back. We'll talk about our featured stock of the day. That's closer to that one peg ratio, all right? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of Best Stocks Now. Joe with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we got a little lift here under the market. Nothing like yesterday. But yesterday was focused in some very narrow areas of the market. Well, I keep talking about watch your peg ratios. I just gave you some examples that were up at the sevens. That is absolutely extreme. All right. And are there stocks with peg? We'll have some screens soon. I expect to hear back soon. I've got a couple of app guys that are working on the app. We're going to add those screens to it so you can see what you can pull up from number one to number 5,637 peg ratios, okay, from the lowest to the highest, from the highest to the lowest, along with many other different screens and being able to create user lists, etc. Hopefully I'll get an update on that this week. But having said that, there definitely are stocks that meet my criteria. I give you an example almost every single day. Now, in a momentum market like we had last year, you know, that peg ratio is important, but it kind of is overlooked, okay? Momentum kind of carries the day when we have a very much of a momentum type of market. And that's why you saw stocks like Peloton and CrowdStrike and Zoom, etc. You kind of saw the momentum investors hold their nose at those peg ratios and buy them anyways, and we're running them up to new highs. And, yes, I did participate in a lot of those momentum stocks. Momentum held sway, really, for the last 9 to 10 months, and that helped me have some huge gains last year. But that started to turn in early to mid-February was the first cracks starting to show up in that momentum trade. And the crack came from a hammer banging on valuations called rising interest rates, which reins in multiples and peg ratios, which are part of those multiples, okay? One half of the peg ratio is the forward P.E., and when the forward P.E. contracts, the peg ratio contracts. And obviously, the highest peg ratios were at the greatest degree of risk. So I started really looking at peg ratios about mid-February and dumping stocks for big gains that had those vulnerable peg ratios in them. Well, now here we are, April the 6th. This has been going on for about 6 weeks now, this vicious sell-off in the momentum names. The only thing I can say is the momentum names are stabilizing. They're going sideways. Does that mean they're getting ready for a new leg up? Well, if interest rates were to drop, I suppose you could make a case for momentum coming back into the market. But with an overall forward P.E. of 30 on the S&P 500 and the 10-year now at about 1.7, right around there, it's hard for me to see those stocks leading the market once again anytime soon. Now, they may be setting up for trades and whatnot off of those bottoms that they're forming, but I've just moved on and gone into different areas of the market. So here's an example. This is the number 413. It was 197 when I bought it. You know, I'm a big believer in the automobile sector. I think that's a huge revolution where, you know, where you're trading in your cell phone every year for the latest version of the cell phone. I don't see the auto industry getting to quite that level, but I do see this whole electric and autonomous and new technology coming to cars. I do see the trade-in cycle and the upgrade cycle increasing as long as the economy continues to be good. But I like companies that supply the big picks and shovels to these guys that have to make money from selling the cars themselves. In other words, I'm not a Fisker fan here or a Workhorse fan here, but some of these other companies like Gentherm, I'll use that as an example today, which is headquartered in Michigan in the auto industry. They manufacture electronic variable temperature seat climate control systems for automobile OEMs, etc. They're kind of more in the parts and the picks and shovels and the pieces. They had a huge quarter here that they reported recently, and they're expected to grow by 25% per year over the next 5 years. It's trading at a forward PE of 19. So there you go. There's a PEG ratio under 1. Now, obviously, the company has to perform here and produce 25% growth over the next 5 years. But that is the consensus estimate out there right now, and a lot of that's being associated with the big boom in electric vehicles. Well, this stock's got some momentum, A-. It's got a good, very good chart, and it's got that PEG ratio of under 1 right now. It fits my valuation criteria. It fits my momentum criteria, and it has a chart that's in a good, strong uptrend. So we'll make Gentherm, which is a $2.5 billion company. Okay, this is a small cap. This is in my ultra growth portfolio, trying to take advantage of the big boom in the EV and the autonomous market without paying up for the kinds of multiples you're paying for the actual car makers themselves, instead of looking at some of the components and the parts. THRM. THRM will be my featured stock of the day. Well, we continue to be extremely busy. We talk to new folks on a daily basis from all over the country, all parts of the country. If you'd like to talk to one of my advisors, you know, we have Edie that sets up the appointments for them. She gives them their assignments every day, delegates that out, and takes in the incoming calls and spreads them out, etc., sets up those appointments. And if you like what you hear, then we have Sandy who handles the paperwork appointments. Yeah, we've got a pretty good system here and some very competent, friendly people on the other end of the line there to talk to at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you want to just peek at us a little bit, do a little exploration, go to the website and get the newsletter for a couple weeks at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.